And that's Malfini by Soleil Levé, and you're listening to Lambi Call, heard every other Monday here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. On November 6th, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, announced that the Trump administration is ending temporary protected status, or TPS, for 2,500 Nicaraguans who have enjoyed it since January 1999. Meanwhile, on October 31st, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson sent a letter to acting DHS Secretary Elaine Duke to, quote, inform her that conditions in Central America and Haiti that had been used to justify the protection no longer necessitate a reprieve for the migrants, reported the Washington Post. These two events strongly suggest that the Trump administration will not renew TPS for 50,000 Haitians whom the Obama administration granted TPS following the January 12, 2010 earthquake. The DHS will announce its decision by November 23rd, that is, before Thanksgiving. Haitians' current TPS expires January 22, 2018. Once TPS is not renewed, its former recipients are usually given only 6 months to settle their affairs and leave the U.S. With us this evening to discuss the situation is Ira Kurzban, perhaps the most well-known and prestigious immigration lawyer in the United States. He publishes Kurzban's Immigration Law Sourcebook, now in its 15th edition, which can be found on the desk of every immigration attorney in the U.S. And we also have Marlene Bastien, who is the founder of FAM, or Haitian Women in Miami, who has been at the forefront of the Haitian community organizing to demand an extension of TPS. We welcome you both to Lambi Call.
Good evening.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for both of you coming on. Marlene, let's start with you. What is the mood in the Haitian community now, and what kind of support have you been getting from the media, church leaders, politicians, and community leaders in Florida and around the U.S.?
Well, as you can imagine, Kim, first of all, thank you so much for the invitation. And then I'd like to also greet all the listeners tonight. There is high level of anxiety, as you can imagine, among thousands of families who have been living here for an average of 7.5 to 28 years. Because 2 weeks ago, we traveled to Washington, D.C. with a group of 20 TPS recipients, and one of them has been in the U.S. since 1988, which means that she's been here for 29 years. These are people who are rooted in our communities. They are employees in our schools, in our hospitals. They are employers. They are homeowners. And they have U.S.-born children, over 275,000 U.S.-born children among them. So there is high level of anxiety because people do not know what's going to happen to them. Are they going to be forced to a nation that is still reeling under the worst disaster in modern history? What will happen to them? What about their children? In terms of support, we've gotten bipartisan support from politicians in South Florida. The entire Florida delegation has co-signed letters asking the Trump administration to renew TPS for the not only for the 58,000 Haitians, but also for Salvadorans, Hondurans, and we heard about what happened to Nicaragua, but also to find a permanent solution to allow them to gain permanent residency eventually, citizenship. In terms of other organizations, religious organizations, hundreds have co-signed letters asking for renewal. And as to the media, I think that we don't have anything to complain because throughout the U.S., we had different papers, the Miami Herald, New York Times, Washington Post, they've all published editorials asking for an 18-month renewal, and so that's what we are asking. We continue to organize locally and nationally. We coordinate our resources nationally to make sure that TPS is renewed. while we work with members of Congress to find a permanent solution so that these families can stay and eventually become permanent residents.
Ira Kurzban, you, like Marlene, are a veteran of the struggles to defend Haitian refugees who took to boats bound for Miami during the 70s, 80s, and 90s. When you fought alongside the late Father Gerard Jean Juste, how would you compare the fight to keep TPS, the odds of this fight, or even win residency for TPS holders to the struggles of two or three decades ago?
Well, I think it's just a continuation of a long history by immigration of the discrimination faced by Haitians in the United States. We're seeking benefits that normally, and I think justifiably, any other group would have gotten. If in this case, if you look at the TPS, temporary protected status statute, it says the attorney general has to find if there's been an earthquake, a flood, a drought, an epidemic, or other environmental disaster, and the foreign state is unable to handle it, and the foreign state has made a request, then the attorney general should grant it. Haiti fits every category and checks off every box, really, with respect to why a country should be given temporary protected status. And one can only imagine, given this administration's response, that it's the same history of, and this continuation of the same history of discrimination. I mean, when the issue first came up, it was noted in the press that the Trump administration was busy trying to find cases where Haitians had committed crimes, so they could use that as a justification for not granting temporary protected status when that's not even a criteria. So, you know, I look at this from a longer historical perspective in terms of how people have been treated, and certainly the Haitian community has not been treated well over the course of the last three decades by all the administrations, but this seems to be a low point in how Haitians are being treated, and really in a way is totally contrary, of course, to what Trump had promised the Haitian community when he was running for office.
And we're speaking with Ira Kurzban, the well-known immigration lawyer based in Miami, and Marlene Bastien, who is the founder and leader of Haitian Women in Miami, or FAM, about TPS. Roger.
Yes, my first question will go to Ira. Ira, this is Roger. I've read in the text that once Homeland Security decides that it's the end of the TPS, the people will have 6 months to gather the stuff and vacate the premises, so to speak. Last time General Kelly went to Haiti, he was very, very rough in stating that people should know that temporary means temporary, and all he gives, he's telling people that they should get ready to leave the United States. Will people have six months from the decision? Or is the 6 months over from what Kelly said before?
Well, we don't really know until they make the announcement as to how much time will be given. The one historical note that people should know is that Kelly was the person who, when President Aristide went back to Haiti, if some people have a long memory, they'll recognize Kelly as the colonel who was responsible for the rules of engagement that resulted in many Haitians being killed in Haiti. He was the person who ran that program many years ago when they refused to disarm the former military in Haiti, and has had a long history of intervention in Haiti in that capacity, and then later on as the head of SOUTHCOM in Florida. So it's no surprise that they would take, and he particularly would take this kind of attitude, and it's really somewhat disgraceful, I think, because he certainly knows better, and he knows the conditions in Haiti. But they have not said yet as to what they will do. I mean, I think the hope is that they will still extend it for 18 months. If they don't, then they should certainly extend it for a period of time that would give people an opportunity to do what they need to do. But Haiti, as I said, is the classic case for TPS. There's absolutely no justification for not granting it for the full 18 months.
And as a follow-up, given the political and legal support from Americans all over regarding those TPS beneficiaries, is there any other recourse at this point?
Well, I think the major recourse is the, you know, public opinion and putting a spotlight on this, as Marlene has done, and done, you know, quite well, along with a number of other organizations. So I think that's the primary step, and I think that's the most important step. I suppose if ultimately that doesn't work out, that there may be litigation on this issue.
This question is to Marlene. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. Marlene, last time this question was up, a lot of Haitians tried to find other non-official ways to deal with this response from the Trump administration. Is there any movement, of people getting out of Miami, going other places, going other countries, to face the eventuality of being kicked out?
Well, as you know, many have gone to Canada trying to find a safe space, safe haven for their family members, even though we at FAM, we thought that it was quite premature because we are fighting for TPS renewal. And like Ira explained, and he's correct, it is a typical case. It's a textbook for TPS renewal, and our position has been that it was premature. Right now, we know that the flow have subsided a little bit, but that doesn't mean that it will not pick up in the event that TPS is not renewed, and that is why you see that Canada is planning on sending members of its parliament to Florida and to New York this weekend. And our message to Canada is that, you know, coming here is not the best solution. To tell, just telling people not to go to Canada is not the real solution. We know Prime Minister Trudeau has a direct lack of communication with President Trump. So our message has been to them when they call, and when journalists from Canada call us, is to for Prime Minister Trudeau, if Canada is so concerned about a migration flow, to you know, reach out to President Trump and ask him to do the right thing, to keep his promise, as Ira indicated, and be Haitians' best champions. And that's what he said: whether you vote for me or not, I will be your best champion. So that the flow has subsided. Whether it will pick up again, it depends on what the Trump administration does, but our position has always been that it was quite premature. And from what we gathered, some of them do want to come back because they realize that, you know, Canada is not going to just approve political asylum. There is a process there too. And then they found themselves in a documented position to go to an undocumented situation. But now it's too late. It's too late. So we are asking people to now it's not the time to run. We understand their anxiety. As a mother of three, I understand their anxiety. People are anxious. They don't know what's going to happen. Especially when we know that since President Trump took office, his policy has been to criminalize immigrants, right? And then deporting them, you know, sometimes in complete denial of their rights of the process. Even, you know, immigrants who will be going through supervision have done everything that they are told to do. When they go to report for supervision, they are detained and to be deported. So I understand their anxiety, but you know, we believe it was premature. So our hope is that the Trump administration will use the law and not use politics in making these decisions, because when you look at Haiti again, it's a textbook case. If they respect the rules of the game, they know that that Haiti qualifies for temporary protected status. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of the people in this administration is hell bent on using politics to exclude some people who have been living here for so long, who have deep roots and deep ties, and all they want is really be able to raise their families like any human being deserves, and send remittances to Haiti as they've done over the years. So we'll continue to put the pressure, because we believe that the 58,000 TPS recipients deserve to be here. We are releasing a documentary tomorrow morning to show that conditions in Haiti have not improved. Even the U.S., in the U.S., the most powerful nation in the world, I mean, it takes them years to recoup. They're still recuperating from Katrina, from Wilma. So how can you expect Haiti, which has not only been victims of natural but also political disasters, and that have been that the U.S. has contributed to for the most part over the years. So we are asking for fairness. We are asking for folks wherever they are to continue to put the pressure to bear, so that the Trump administration can do what is right, what is economically smart. Allow these people to stay and give Congress a chance to act on their behalf.
And we're speaking with Marlene Bastien, the director of Haitian Women in Miami, or FUM, and a leading TPS extension proponent, and Ira Kurzban, the famed immigration attorney based in Miami, who defended Haitian refugees throughout the 80s and 90s and, well, until today, and is now defending Haitians against the removal of TPS, which seems imminent but is still in play. This question is really to both of you. It's not just Haitians, of course, but there are about 300,000 other immigrants who are among the 10 nations who have who enjoy TPS presently. I mean, Nicaragua was knocked off that list last week, and it should be noted they were given 1 year to get out, not 6 months, but theoretically they're supposed to be out in January of 2019. What efforts have been made to reach out to those other communities, the Hondurans, the Nicaraguans, the Salvadorians, et cetera, to try to make some sort of common front for TPS extensions?
Mm-hmm. So with the help of many organizations and even, you know, Ira on the call and many others, we've been able to build a national coalition with the Salvadorans and Hondurans. We've recently were in Washington, D.C., where the National TPS Coalition, composed of organizations from Haiti, from Salvador, from Honduras, from Guatemala, not Guatemala, from Nicaragua, met, and then we've led civil campaigns in Washington, D.C., meeting with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, we thought that this it was important to have a stronger impact. And I can say that this collaboration, you know, has been working very well. So, you know, IRA has been advising us, you know, and we believe that it is more powerful to fight with them, to collaborate with them than fighting alone. And then we will continue this collaboration because we believe when we look at Salvador, when we look at Honduras, when we look at Nicaragua, these countries have also been through a lot. Salvador, for example, in 2015 was named one of the most violent countries in the Western Hemisphere. So this is a country that has gone through a lot of turmoil, which also, again, we have a hand in the, meaning the U.S. And then the other powers of the world. So we have to also look at the roots cause of the root causes of migration that push people here. And then when they come here, we want to criminalize them and then place them in detention and then deport them. So yes, we are collaborating. We are part of the National TPS Coalition. And because we believe that we are stronger together, we are talking about the 58,000 Haitians and in total, 320,000 TPS recipients who have been here for an average of, like I said, you know, in the case of Haiti, 7.5 years. In the case of Salvador, 30 plus years. These people, they are basically American as apple pie. You know, they've been contributing. It will cost billions to deport them. The right thing to do, the most economic thing to do, the smart thing to do is to extend TPS and give them a chance to stay here and live free of fear and to come out from the shadow of obscurity and then to the shadow of light and justice.
Marlene,
I think we should recognize this for what it is, which this is an attack. Not on just four groups. I mean, this administration is really directly challenging the idea that we should have any immigrants in the United States. And this is just part mm-hmm. of a much broader effort on the part of this administration to really do away, I believe, and grind to a halt all immigration. You know, it's not about the wall and it's not about just a Muslim ban. These are the most virulent anti-immigrant group ever to occupy the White House. And their goal really is to simply grind immigration to a halt and to, you know, when they said make America great again, they really meant make America white again. And what they're really attempting to do is to take us back to the days of the national origins quota system and the Know Nothing Party and those people who believe that we shouldn't have any immigrants in the country. So this is symptomatic and should be treated that way. That is, as a much broader issue than simply, you know, taking away TPS from Hondurans or Nicaraguans, but rather a full-scale assault on the notion, the fundamental notions of what America is about, which is the engine of development and what really has made America great is immigrants coming to the United States who are willing to work hard. And this concept that somehow they were taking jobs away from people is just a, you know, another part of the false facts and a false news that's perpetrated by those people who want to see a different kind of America. And so I think we need to see it in that context and fight it in that context.
And you're listening to Lombie Call on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and streaming over the internet at WBAI.org. And we're speaking with Haitian community activist Marlene Bastien and immigration attorney Ira Kurzban about the threat that the Trump administration may not renew temporary protected status for Haitians and many other nationalities in the coming period. Roger.
Yes, this question can go to either one of you. It's very difficult to have any hope given the fact that Mr. Trump behaved toward other Americans by pitching paper towels to them and being arrogant and humiliating. I'm talking about Puerto Rico. But is there any sense of advocacy from the government of Haiti? They have many arguments they could use, not only the puppet and looting governments that they impose on Haiti, but the fact that countries like Panama, Guyana, they've been insisting on sending Haitians back. And most of all, the Dominican Republic have sent, from what I've read lately, about 200,000 Haitians in the last year back. These are arguments the government should use to ask for a reprieve for their citizens in the United States. Is there any sense of advocacy from the Haitian government?
Well, I don't know if I want to take a stab at this, but what I know for sure is that at the beginning, the Haitian government was not involved. It did not make a request for TPS renewal. And Chief Kelly went to Haiti, spent 4 hours at the National Palace, and came back to Miami and claimed that he met with President Jovenel Moïse. And it is in his estimation, Haiti was ready to welcome, to absorb the 58,000. But a few months ago, we received information from the ambassador, Ambassador Paul Altidore, that the Haitian government, you know, was going to craft a letter, send a letter to the administration requesting an 18-month TPS renewal, which they have done. But initially, it was very confusing because Chief Kelly was saying one thing, and then the Haitian government claimed that it was ready to welcome, to absorb the deportees. But then they claimed that they didn't say it. So there was pure confusion. But since then, they sent a letter, and Ambassador Altidore has been very active. When we were in D.C. Recently, we met with several lawmakers who indicated that he's been meeting with them and being more active. So the initial position was a little bit confusing, but since then, they seem to have changed the course, and then they've submitted the letter. But saying that, stating that we know that while we're trying to keep the 58,000 here, a lot of our young people are leaving every day. They're leaving for Chile, they're leaving for Brazil, they want to go anywhere besides Haiti, because you have a country that has and a bourgeoisie and a government that is not offering the most basic. Doing our fact-finding mission in Haiti recently, we went to the border of Santo Domingo in Haiti, where thousands are still living in squalor, in conditions not fit for a human being. Thousands who have been deported from the Dominican Republic since 2013. And those who will see the documentary, which we are launching tomorrow, will see those people. How can you have a government in power when you have your own people, your own citizens, living in conditions, in such conditions? So there is something to say about, yes, they're supporting it, and I think that it helps that they send this letter. But the bigger question is, what is the government of Haiti doing to give some kind of hope? What are they doing? What are they doing? So that is where we are. Haiti is not like as poor as people claim, because going through Anse-à-Pitre, going to Malpass, I mean, the delegation was in awe at the beauty of the place. This is not a poor country. This is a country where people have been brainwashed to believe that they are poor. Meanwhile, others are, you know, coming with cash and buying our land, and then they are creating conditions, pushing the citizens of the land, pushing them out, and then when they come here, we treat them like the animals, like criminals. So this is the situation, and until we have leaders, like we would say in Creole, avec nenafigio, who understand that the fate of Haiti is in their hands. The U.S., Canada, Paris, England will not come and go there and change Haiti for them. They have the destiny of the country in their hands. Until they understand that, and then we have leaders with stiff backbones, willing to work and fight for the people, we will continue to have this exodus of our young university students, you know, leaving and to nations where they are treated, they are discriminated against and treated badly. I feel like I have to say something. I have to say this because whenever I go to Haiti, I'm like so frustrated and so angry and frustrated.
Marlene, unfortunately, we've run out of time for this segment. Can you just tell people where they can find the documentary and where they can find about more information about your organization and work? And Ira, I imagine a lot of our listeners, many of whom are TPS holders, may want to contact you, so if we can get your information as well. So, Marlene, you first.
Okay, so we're launching it. It will be on our website once it's launched tomorrow.
That is?
www.fam.org.
FAM, that's FANM.org.
.org. I'm sorry, I'm thinking I took so long.
No problem. And Ira, how can people find you?
I guess people can reach us at kkwtlaw.com in Miami.
KKWT.
We are working, of course, with Marlene and with the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti. To try and win the big issue. But it's. I just want to say briefly, I think it's going to depend on whether or not those people who are seeking the extension of temporary protected status come out and have their voices heard.
Okay, and we'll leave it there. Thank you, Ira. Thank you, Marlene, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Merci.
Okay, au revoir.